And this
say
is
that.
probably from the pollution from there.
I must tell you, I've been in Shanghai. And Shanghai is one of the most beautiful towns in the whole world.
Fantastic.
It's an unbelievable town, a huge town, modern building.
Well, not all of it.
But the center of town,
and
it depends
no
where
pollution.
You go. There, in
no,
everywhere you have
historic.
Slums.
But
then
really
I've got a historic place. It's my
Machoten
to the chap that built it. You know, what was his name? Sassoon. He built the mile. You know,
the
big buildings in the.
The big hotels are also Sassoon buildings.
Yeah, the big areas. I was related to my husband's family.
Yeah.
It's all that's why I know all about it.
Okay, we'll talk a little about our Parsha, and maybe we also will talk a little about China. Because there is always something to learn. If something you go through, there is always a lesson. Because nothing happens for nothing, and whatever happens around you is for you and is a lesson for you. And sometimes, if it's in your abilities, you have also to teach this lesson to others. So our parasha is telling us we have to go out on a war. Ki tetzel lemilchama al oivecha. Unetano Hashem elokecha biyadecha. First of all, of course, there is the physical side of the idea that when there is a war, you're going to go to war and the Kodesh Baruch is going to help you. But we are standing now in Chodesh Elul, a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and the Torah is really telling us it's about time that we come out and get to war on Yetzer Hara. That's why, by the way, it's not written Ki Tzeh Milchama Ol Eivechem. In plural, it's in singular, oivecha, one. Who is our one enemy? And the worst enemy that is always there, Yetzer Hara. And sometimes we don't realize, cheta egel, the golden calf, what was our share in the golden calf sin? What did we do wrong? Because those who really sinned died. And all the others, why are we getting punished for it? Byom pokdi upakadati. God is telling, any time there is going to be something, you're going to pay me also for the golden calf. So what did we do wrong?
Adishut, no?
Adishut. What is adishut?
It's not to...
In other words, even though we didn't dance with the golden calf, we didn't worship the golden calf, being silent and doing nothing, and also being silent and doing nothing and going on with life like nothing happened, this is wrong. That's why the Torah is telling us, Ki tetzeh lemilchama al oivecha. You cannot sit down and wait that the war is going to be won without you doing any action. Because if you're not going to go out to do, if you're not going to be an action to fight Yetzer Hara, you're not going to win. You're going to lose and lose big time. No, nevertheless, especially in Chodesh Elul, Chodesh Hasmicha v'Rachamim, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is here and waiting for us to get into his hands, he wants to hug us. And this exactly is the time that we have to try and do some more than what we do. So there is always the question, if I know for sure that, okay, I'm going to do some good things now, but it's only now. After Yom Kippur, I'm going to go back to what I normally do. So what do you think about a guy who does this? Knowing right in front, that after Yom Kippur will going to pass, I'm going to come back and do whatever I'm used to do. Is it good or bad?
It has.
Think again.
You want to go back and do what you used to do, it's
bad. The fact that he's here. The fact that he's here.
The fact that you tried is already something. And that we have to put in our mind. Because Yetzer Hara is telling us what you said
but
now.
The truth of the matter is, he's telling himself before that I'm going to go back. If he didn't do this, you're telling me he says to himself, I'll do this now, but I'll go back to where I was.
Why do you do it now?
So why am I doing it now?
Why do you do it?
Because everybody, my friends are all here. I figure I might as well go in too. They're all going to shul. I might as well go too. I mean,
why?
I can't stay home.
Why? Something special?
To look at me.
Something special happened now? Something special happened now that you're doing it? You're changing your attitude? Something happened? Yes.
No.
Chodesh Elul. Why not? Why did you change your behavior? Because of Chodesh Elul. We have to understand, Yetzer Hara is very clever. And one of his methods is very simple. He is telling you, you're no good. You are going anyway to go back to your old ways, so why bother? Go on. And so, I'm saying, it sounds like if I know right in front that I'm not going to change my ways, and all the only change that's going to happen is for a very limited period of time, I would say to myself, why bother? That's Yetzer Hara. Because you have to understand, the minute you go in the right direction, you can never know what's going to happen. And a lot of people, that even though they knew from the beginning that they're going to come back to their old ways, did it, and they changed their ways. Because, you know, when you do one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. When you get this beautiful feeling, I didn't sin, it helps you to go on and climb another step on the ladder. If you go on in your normal life, you will never do tshuva. In other words, even though we know sometimes that we're going to be exactly the same after Yom Kippur, we still have to do the effort. We still have to try. Of course, if somebody right in front says, I'm just playing a game, okay, so God is going to play a game with you. But somebody who does nothing, that's the worst. That's what the Torah is telling us. Ki tetze lemilchama al oyvecha untano Hashem elokecha v'yadecha. We have to understand. Normally, all of us want to be tzaddikim. Do we agree about this?
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't agree, I don't know what he's looking. Why did he come this night? So this is stupid. We don't have to learn Torah. We don't have to assure if nobody wants to be good. In other words, everybody sitting here wants to be a tzaddik. But it's hard. Doesn't work out. So what should we do? We should try and go out on war. And what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu telling us? You do the first step, I will help you. And I must say, you know, I'm sure that each one of us, every Rosh Hashanah, did something that changed his year. Maybe we don't feel it in the beginning, like, oh, I'm doing the same that I did, but it's not true. Because if we'll check, it has an influence on us, and for the good. But only if we try, only if we go out on war. That's what the Torah is telling us. Ki tetze lemilchama al oyvecha unetano Hashem elokecha v'yadecha. It doesn't matter what's going to happen after Yom Kippur. Now, you do the best you can, because now God is expecting you to do something, and God now is helping more than ever. That's what they call a melech basadeh, the king is in the field. What is the king is in the field? The Rav Pinkus says, the king is going among us, and he is now in a mood of forgiveness. He is in the mood of hugging us. That's our Father in heaven. He's now here, wants to hug us. Now, who is stupid enough not to try and hug back the Kodesh Baruch Hu, our Father in heaven?
That's what the Americans from us Jews. In America, you've got your dream, and if you keep failing, to say at least keep trying. And keep trying, never mind how much you failed, just keep trying.
What do we say to David Hashem in the end? Kave el Hashem, chazak v'yamets libecha, v'kave el Hashem. You hope for God to help you. Be strong. And how do you say? Ametz levavcha, like try with all your heart. V'kave el Hashem. But you say already kave el Hashem. We already said kave el Hashem. Chazak v'yamets libecha, v'kave el Hashem. Why do we say it twice? God is telling us, you try, you're not successful. So what do? Give up, you try again. Kave el Hashem, chazak v'yamets libecha v'kave el Hashem.
Kafi?
kaveh, kaveh, to hope. Ah. It's to hope, or if we want to translate it in to understand it, kaveh l'Hashem, you hope that God is going to help you. You pray to God. But sometimes you don't feel that God is helping you. Or you don't feel that you did the right thing. So what is God telling you? David HaMelech is saying, Chazak, be strong. Try again with all your heart and kaveh l'Hashem. And it's a big lesson. Never give up. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter who you are and where you are. I've been now in China. And I must say, I learned so much. I went for an exhibition, but I learned so much about... I met the Jews from all over the world. The Israelis were in the minority. Most of the Jews I met were from Argentina, Peru, Colombia, the States, Spain, Italy. And they all... What do they do when they come to China?
Shop.
Do business.
They look, where is Bet Chabad? Where is a place that we can daven? We even did Mincha in the exhibition. And you have to understand, this exhibition is huge. And when you go on the exhibition, it's a hard job. But we wanted to pray Mincha. So we made a meeting in one of the, in the post office, in the entrance of the exhibition. I don't know what they thought about us. But we davened. We had a minyan for Mincha in the middle of the exhibition. This is Ki Tetzeh LeMilchama Al Oyvecha. Even if you are far away, doesn't matter where you are, you try. You do whatever you can in order to show God, I want to be with you. God sees it. And it's not helping only us, it's helping all Am Yisrael. Because we are all involved in each other. Looking for kosher food? You know, it's very easy. You can say, I am in Chutz La'aretz, China. Nobody understands English there. You want to try to explain the taxi driver where to take you.
Mm-hmm. I tried shopping in a store.
You do whatever you do. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
The best thing is, you show him in Chinese, what word do you want to get. And if you don't know, what can I say? Maybe you will still be there. One of the nights, we went out a little to see town. No taxi wanted to take us.
Why?
Why? Yeah. Ask them. They don't understand me, I don't understand them. I show them the road, they don't want to go.
It's very dangerous at night.
No,
they don't
have
proper street lighting, do they?
They have everything.
When I was there, they didn't have proper street lighting.
Now they have everything. Believe me, I was thinking that the China is this primitive place. And you know, everybody showed you always the dirty markets and everything. And I must say, Shanghai is so clean and unbelievable. This is not a place now to show you pictures, but... if you see the things, like the way they live, and by the way, they are very rich there. Some of them are very poor, and some of them are filthy rich. You know Maserati. How many Maserati do you see in Israel? How many Maserati do you see abroad? In one night, in 1 hour, I saw three Maserati. You know how much cost a Maserati?
I don't know how many.
Bentley, Mercedes, BMW.
Oh, I saw all that in 2004. I never saw so many.
You cannot even believe how many beautiful cars they have there. Costing a fortune. Shops? You think China is cheap? It's very cheap. But if you go to one of those beautiful shops, you will pay more than what you pay here.
They have special malls for rich people.
I buy an AliExpress.
I went to the Pearl Market, and that is experience by itself.
In Beijing.
That is experience by itself.
What is Pearl Market?
It's a market where they sell all the fakes, all the shirts, all the things, all the names, watches. This is a watch that cost around $1 million.
Right.
Didn't cost me $1 million, believe me.
Patek
Philippe.
What brand you bought?
Patek Philippe.
Wow.
It's not Patek. Don't worry, it's not Patek really. Just looks like it.
Very beautiful.
Does it run? Usually they take it. Oh,
very good. By the way, I learned a few lessons there. First of all, it's like when we talk about, you remember we talked about how the Midianite tempted Israel to go in and then to worship idols and to do those bad things. Mm-hmm. The system was outside is the bad stuff and inside is the good stuff. The same way they work. You want a good watch, they have all the rubbish watches in front. One of them took us to a secret room. You go into another shop, then to go to a secret room, and then she opened the cupboard. And on the other side of the cupboard was another room. And there they had all the goodies. This is like you're in a film. It's unbelievable. And you have to argue. If you don't argue...
Yeah, they want you.
And by the way, even after arguing, you still feel they done you. Whatever it is. They can try 2,000, and then you buy it 400. Like, it's ridiculous. It's a whole different mentality. And the funny thing is, they admire Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They admire us. Especially those who go with the kippah. I went everywhere with my kippah and my tzitzis outside.
Yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they admire religious Jews. They think that we are the most clever nation in the world. Do you remember what we read a few parshot? Ki hi chokhmatchem ubinatchem le'enei ha'amim. This is your wisdom. If you go in the way of the Torah, all the nations are going to look at you.
I just wanted to say something about Singapore. If you throw your rubbish onto the floor instead of into a public bin, you get a fine.
Yes, if you throw chewing gum on the floor, you get a fine.
It's a communist country, you must not forget it.
Yeah.
You have cameras everywhere. Like you feel the big brother is watching you, like really watching you. It's not like every few meters you have a camera. And you have electric fence around the houses. Like in South Africa, the same thing. It's like this. Here you don't understand the reason. They have millions of people doing nothing because there is no unemployment in China. It's a communist country. And the communist, what does it mean? If they fire you from a job, the government is going to find you a job. So you can find people, for example, four people doing a job of one. So one is sleeping in the car, the other one is watching the other one, and one is doing the job. That's the way it works. But when you see this...
We had this guy talk about how wonderful in this country is, and it's so marvelous, and everything is great, and she made more money than anybody. She changed money for us. She charged more than anybody else charged. Yes, we wanted massages, she says, but don't pay the people that do it, you pay me.
Yeah. Because, you know, we don't. That's exactly what happens. When you don't know the country, don't know how much everything is worth, so, and you feel, oh, it's a mitzvah. But for them, it's not a mitzvah. They done you. Okay. They took five times more than what they should take. But what I'm saying is, even though you are in this strange environment, and as I said, it took us an hour to get a taxi in the middle of night to go back to the hotel. And then you realize what it is to be alone in the world with no connection with nothing. And you understand the feeling of the Jews that want to be together. On Shabbos in Bet Chabad they had around 150 people. I've been in another place, a Kehila, that's the Sephardi Kehila, we had 50 people. And you see that the Jews are together because they are in a strange country. They want to feel together. They want to be together. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen here. And that's a big lesson for us. I wrote about this for this parsha on this week, that being far, we want to be close. When we are close, we want to be far.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson we have to learn. That even though we are here in Israel and we don't feel the feeling of being alone, that's exactly what we have to remember. What would we do if we met a Jew in the middle of nowhere, not religious, not holding our opinions, would we hug him, would we talk with him?
Sure.
Of course, but why not here? Why not here? Ki tetzel milchama lo vecha. Sometimes we have to go out and to see what happens outside, to realize. And that's what the Torah is telling us also in our parsha. Pasuk Aleph Perek Kaf Bet.
Kaf Bet.
Kaf Bet. Perek Kaf Bet. Pasuk Mua. Pasuk Aleph.
Let's say.
Lo tir'e et shor achicha.
Lo tir'e.
Et shor achicha. Yes. Lo tir'e et shor achicha. Pasuk Aleph in Perek Kaf Bet. Kaf Bet. The first pasuk. Maybe it's before. Got it? Yes. Lo tireh et shor achicha o et siyo midachim v'italamta mehem asher tishirem la'achicha. V'im lo karov achicha elecha v'lo yedato. Here we're talking about finding something that belongs to
it's German.
Somebody else, and you tell yourself, why should I bother? I didn't see it, I'm going on. The Torah is telling us, if you see something that your friend lost, you should try and give it back. Hashavat Aveda. Even though, Pasuk Bet, V'im lo karov achicha elecha, v'lo yedato, you don't know him, he's not close to you, ואספתו אל תוך ביתך. Even though you will take him into your house. And that's also a big lesson by itself. When you meet, doesn't have a Aveda, the Torah is telling us how to behave. When you meet your brother, when you meet a Jew, even though he's not close to you, even though he is not a relative of you, you still take him into your house. You will help him. And this is talking about something he lost. So if we're talking about something he lost, so he himself, of course you have to take him in. Of course you have to help him. If you have to keep his aveda, something he lost, so shouldn't you help the guy himself? Of course. Pasuk Daled is telling us something else. I want to help somebody, but he doesn't want to help himself. What should I do? Should I help him or not?
Yeah.
Not so simple. Lo tireh et chamor achicha o shoron oflim baderech v'italamta mehem, akem takim imo. You shouldn't, you should not. If you, in other words, if you see the donkey of your brother or his ox falling because they have heavy weight on them, you couldn't turn your head, I didn't see it. You will help him to put the stuff back on his ox or his donkey and help him get up the donkey and the ox. But what is written here? Akem takim imo, with him together. In other words, you should help if the guy wants to help himself. But if he doesn't want to help himself, you don't have to help him.
Isn't that connected with codependence, that you can't solve anybody's emotional problems? That everybody has to sort out his emotions and it's take care by himself of his mental health.
Yes, you should take care about your mental health, but you still should help somebody who cannot help himself. But here what we're talking about is somebody who is waiting for you to do everything. He doesn't want to do anything. So, from one side, we have to help our friends. But from the other side, we don't have to help somebody who doesn't want to help with us. We're not talking here about, you have to understand and make the definition. We're not talking here about somebody was far away from Judaism, and we have to have to help him to come back. This is, we have to do whatever we can, even though he doesn't understand what it's all about. We're talking here about helping, like somebody can say, you have the obligation to help me now, take all the stuff that fall down on earth and put it on my donkey or on my lorry. And he sits down there looking at you doing the job. It's your job. The Torah says you should help. The Torah says also imo, with him together. In other words, when we're talking about the spiritual way, also we can say, if we try to help somebody but he's really going against it, so there is a limit to our obligation, because sometimes a guy like this who doesn't want and nobody to help him, he can have a bad influence on us. You know, we can do what we can do. We cannot do any more. Of course we have to try. But when we're talking about the physical side, there is no obligation to help somebody who doesn't want to help with. In other words, the Torah tells us you help your fellow man as long as he helps with you. He cannot tell you it's your obligation to help me, so you do the job and I look and watch you. From the spiritual side, in order to be successful with bringing somebody back, you have to try whatever you have. But if the guy is going against you, sometimes it's not worth it. So we have to have the common sense to understand and realize when our help is required and when it's not required. Of course there is a difference between helping physically and spiritually, because sometimes a guy doesn't know that he needs help. He lost the way. So the Torah is telling you, you shouldn't turn your head and say, it's not my job. I'm not the one to blame that he lost the way. It's his problem. He left the Torah. He left the good way. He's going in bad ways. It's not my job to help him or to try and giving and bringing back to do tshuva. The Torah tells you, no, you should try and do whatever you can. But always, if I want to be successful, I need some help from him. Because if somebody doesn't want to do tshuva and he doesn't want to listen to me, that's what we call ochach letz sviz nechecha, al tochach letz pen yisnaecha, ochach lechacham v'yoavecha. When you rebuke somebody and this guy doesn't care, he's making fun of everything, there is no reason to rebuke him. Not going to help. But somebody who is clever understands that there is something. For example, as I'm saying, in China, you see in Shul, all those people that's got nothing to do with religion. But they feel that they want to get close, especially when they're there alone. And this is the opportunity to do a lot. Because when you feel alone, and you want the help, and then you find the Jewish community, and you understand how good it is to be a part of the community, that's when you can do the job in the best way. And it's a shame that here we don't have it, because people don't feel alone. They are with their own friends and doing whatever they want to do. Still, we have to job to try and do whatever we can, but it's much harder. It's much easier when the guy that we want to help him wants to be helped. If when the guy doesn't want us to help him, it's very hard to help. Anyway, our parsha is telling us that we have to look in our eyes and understand and realize that the best way to do this war is being told to us in Perek Kaf Gimel Pasuk Ten.
Pasuk
Ten.
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 Yes.
Give me a
camp program.
Kitetze?
Yes, Kitetze. Mm-hmm. Again, we have Kitetze.
What is it?
Perek Kaf Gimel. The next Perek, Pasuk 10, Pasuk Yud. Kitetze Machane Aloivecha. What is now the difference between the Kitetze, the first Kitetze, and the second Kitetze? Yes. What does it mean?
As a group?
It's not a Yetzer Hara, now it's our enemy?
Now, the Torah is telling you how to fight Yetzer Hara. Ki tetze machane aloivecha. Be a part of the congregation. Be a part of a group. Don't go alone. Ki tetze lemilchama aloivecha, when you're going to win the fight. The best way to do it is to be a part of the congregation. It's a part of the klal. Ki tetze machane aloivecha. But we have to check that we're going on the right war and we're not fighting something that we shouldn't fight. And that's why we need to look in our eyes and see, is this our fight or it's not? Unfortunately, in the world, sometimes people believe they fight for the best real reasons of the world, like the communist world.
Or Hillary Clinton trying to make peace between the Jews and the Palestinians. Israel is a sovereign state and it's not none of her business.
Yeah. And also we see this, for example, when before the communists won the war against the Tsar was, as they said, an evil guy who did a lot of cruel things to the people. What did the communist regime do?
Even worse.
Even worse. So in other words, it looked like a justice war, but at the end of the way, nothing to do with justice. It was even worse. So we have to choose our wars and be sure that we're fighting the right war. Looking on things, for example, I once told you that this guy came to a place. He wanted Parnos, he came to a place, and he realized that this place is not developed, and when he sees that everybody is going with no shoes, barefooted, and he was a shoemaker, he thought about doing business there. When he realized that nobody wears shoes, what did he do?
Left
back, right on the spot, rode back home. It's nothing to do here, everybody is barefoot. His friend came a year later, also a shoemaker. When he came down, he wrote a fax to his family, send me millions of shoes, nobody's got shoes here. So it depends how you look at things.
Yeah.
You can look at things on the half that is full, or you can look at the half that is empty. The other guy saw no shoes, no business. But the other one says, what do you mean, if there is no shoes, that's my opportunity. I can make business here. And this is the way we should try and look at life. Look always at the advantage. And if there is a disadvantage, the clever thing to do is, and that's, by the way, the first rule in business, to take a disadvantage and make it an advantage. And a lot of times we can do it. When ki tetze lemilchama aloivecha, we should do the first step and look with the eyes of the Torah about what's in front of us. And realize that whatever God is putting us in, it is good. But we have sometimes to look and find the good, because we have a job to do. As we said, kitetze, we cannot sit and do nothing. We have to get into action. And the minute when we go on action and the right action, in the right direction, God is going to help us. And sometimes we will find that something that looked like a disadvantage suddenly is an advantage. And also, as we said in the beginning, somebody says it, you know, fighting Yetzer Hara is not an easy job. It's a hard job. So they tell us, "Betachbulot ta'aseh lecha milchama." To fight Yetzer Hara, you don't confront him. You have to trick him. How do you trick him? You have to find a way. Sometimes you don't tell him, "I'm not going to do it. Let me do something and then I'll do it." As we said, sometimes Yitzhak tells us, "You're worth nothing. You are a Russia. What are you going to do? You're going to play a tzaddik for a few days and then you're going back to your own ways? Enjoy life. Anyway, not going to change." But that is Sahara. So what should you tell him? "Don't worry, you know what? Let me do a small thing and then I'll go back." So Yetzirah is cooled down. That's what they say, if the Yetzirah attacks you, Moshcheu le Bet HaMidrash, take him to Bet HaMidrash. But Yetzirah will going to come to me with that to Bet HaMidrash? Yes, if I know how to cover it. If I know how to make him come. In other words, I have to satisfy him. I have to give him something. So he's not going to bother me. Sometimes I have to do a certain action in order to save myself. There is a famous story in the Gemara, and with this we will finish. There was this Rebbe Amram Hasida. I'm not going to read it from the Gemara in Aramaic, I'm just going to explain it. There were captures, women, girls, that were captured, and they were released from their captures, and they put them in the house of Reb Amram Hasida in the second floor. And in order not to happen anything, there was a ladder that 10 people had to carry him. They moved the ladder so nobody can climb up. Reb Amram Hasida, which was a great tzaddik, suddenly one of the girls went through and the light put the shade of the girl down. So Yetzer Hara attacked him. So Reb Amram Hasida took the ladder that 10 people normally carry and put it on to the second floor and started climbing the ladder. That's how strong Yetzer Hara was working on him. In the middle of the ladder, realized what he's doing. What did he do? He shouted, "Fire in my house of Reb Amram Hasida, fire!" So the neighbors came to see the fire, and what do they see? They see Reb Amram Hasida on the middle of the way up to the girls. So they tell him, "You shamed us. Reb Amram, that's what you're doing? Climbing up to catch a girl? You shamed us." He says, "Better off I shame you this world than I will shame you in the next world." So his trick was, I call everybody, and if everybody were going to come here, I wouldn't dare to do the same. So each one of us got his way, his system. Rav Dessler, for example, was smoking a lot. One day, when he realized, in the beginning, people didn't realize how dangerous it is. And then, it was very hard, somebody who is used to smoke, it's very hard to leave smoking. So he decided one day he has to stop. But how do you do it? He went in front of the Holy Yeshiva and said, "From this day on, I stop smoking." Everybody heard it. Now, he is a very famous man. Everybody looks up to him. And he said, told everybody, "Stop smoking." He couldn't start smoking again. Because everybody says, "Hey, you just, a few days ago, stand here and said you're not going to smoke." That's the thing that Reb Amram Hasida did. So sometimes we have to find the method, the system. How do we fight Yetzer Hara? How do we force ourselves to do the right thing? So, as we said, there are a lot of ways. But the main basic thing is what the parsha is telling us in the beginning. Ki tetze lemilchama aloivecha. Sitting down and doing nothing won't help us. We have to go out and war. And Bezrat Hashem, unetano Hashem elokecha beyadecha. God will give him in our hands.